This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Dennis Fithian, Matt the Hitman Mizla over at the Taj Mahal. I want to thank Michael Wright for taking the time and coming in and talking to us about this this real conversation that we're trying to have with everyone. I've said in the I think it was Ms. Matt Leach and myself on Friday, we said that we're not going to ignore, but I was trying to get a hold of people and everything. So now that we've gotten some people into the hopper, we can start doing some things and talk about this. I don't have a problem talking about it. Look, does it hurt me when I hear people talking about Bo Schembechler in a bad way? But hey, we're all human. Everybody's flawed. Nobody's perfect. Nobody on this earth is perfect. So I listen to them. I have what I hear, and I move on from there. So I just look. I want to be able to hear, but I want to hear the victims too, and everything like that, and then hear what happened to them. So I want to get the information out. I want people to be able to speak their what happened to them. Because you don't want this to ever happen again to any athlete, male, female, whatever. I don't want, this is not, it's supposed to be for higher learning at the University of Michigan, not sexual abuse or anything like that. So I will do everything in my capabilities to get the information out to everyone. So I just wanted that to be said. Because I'm getting a lot of text messages. A lot of people wanting Michael Wright's number right now. So it's interesting.
Yeah, you want the truth as much as you can get the truth. I think what you're talking about there. And, you know, so, you know, that's what you should care about. I think that's what, you know, if you're out there, you know, you can. I know there's sides to this, but truth and justice and, you know, reputations and accountability. I mean, those are the things that. You know, that I think about when I think about this and where it's going. And it's still, and you can have an opinion as it's going on. It is still playing out. If that is the situation, I mean, that you can think one thing. Like I tell you at the beginning, I don't know if I told you this or not, Jamie, because we've talked a little bit, but you know, I had to go to, you know, when you play high school sports, you have to go get physicals and everything else. And, you know, my dad was a police officer. I just lived with him. My mom had moved away, so it was just me and my brother with my dad. And if I would have gone back, and this would have been, you know, the mid-80s, and if I would have gone, you know, to my dad and said, hey, Dad, I think, you know, there was something going on, my dad would have, I would guess, my dad's passed away now, so I can't ask him, but he would have said, you know, that's what doctor, you know, you trust a doctor. You know, and he might have, I might have come back and said it again, like, hey, you know, but this, he's like, look, the doctor, you got to trust the doctor. And I'm his own son.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and anytime you do that, you feel like you're like, I feel like, and I know others feel like, well, you're trying to make excuses for somebody. I can just tell you, I'm just being honest. And that's how I think this situation, you know, when you look at something through a lens of 2021 and you're looking at something in 1970 and 1980, it is a lot different. Now, you know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of compelling, you know, allegations. And there are, once you get to, so I remember when Bill Cosby, when it got to you, there has to be something. I was, okay, it's just one. Then you're, what you do, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, how believable is this? And then you have two and you're like, well, how believable is this? You know, you get up to, you know, 3, 4, 5, and, you know, you're getting to a point and you're listening to people say, well, what about this? What about that? What about this person? You know, and kind of vetting each person. And I don't know at what point do you get where, and on the other side with Anderson, what is, it's like an 800, like mm-hmm. So the first question is, you feel like, was there abuse that was happening there? You know, to me, I can say, yeah, I feel confident about that from at least following this. I do feel like that there was, abuse there. I'm talking about the Bow side where it becomes where you've had 4 or 5 different people, you know, saying what they've had to say with their allegations. And you say, well, how many before you say, well, but you know, it was the '70s and, but what about this? And you know, I don't know. Those are hard things. Those are hard things when you're real, especially when you're, if you're not close to it, they're not very hard, because I could tell you across the country and anywhere else, you just look and say, okay, yeah, this is, things are coming down. There's no question about this. If you say anything where you, you know, are questioning it, you're, what you're doing is you're attacking the victims, and you know, that's a problem. And so that's a hard thing to do. So it's tough. It is that part all is very difficult when it comes down to it.
Oh, without a doubt. It's one of the toughest things. Look, my thing is, when every time I hear a story, I listen to it, I assess it. I'll do something that I don't think the reporters are doing. I think the media is doing a shitty job. Excuse my language, but they're actually doing a crappy job. They're doing a disservice to the players themselves. I mean, they need to go out and really, don't let the lawyers do it. Your job is to also research this and investigate it. I mean, go, where's the guys, the sleuths that go and find out information? Maybe everybody's, and I guess there's a lot of people, there aren't a lot of people around that was in this time. But the one thing about the university, they save everything. All the paperwork, everything. It's somewhere, and I know you can get hands on it. So I want to find out everything. I don't want to just know. I mean, everybody wants, like I said, Bo's the lightning rod. I get it. But I want to know what their bosses knew. I want to know what the president at the time knew. If you fired him and you rehired, why was he rehired? You know what I'm saying? What in what years was he doing it up at the health system, on the university? And why was he getting away with it? I get it. And you're right, Dennis. Back in those days, back in the 70s, doctors were looked upon as being elite. They knew everything, so they couldn't possibly do anything wrong.
Yeah, I don't, you know what, Jamie, I've had people that I trust and that are friends to me say, look, there's a bottom line, even if it was the 70s, that you know, that no doctor should be giving a prostate exam. And yet I can talk to, you know, at least a half dozen former players that said, look, we didn't think anything about the prostate exams. You know, there were military exams. These are guys that went on to play pros. You know, they had the prostate exams, and it was the, so they didn't think anything of that. So that, you know, you can have somebody say, bottom line, there shouldn't have been going on. And I'm like, I don't know, bottom line, I don't know when it comes down to that. Like, I got six people telling me bottom line on that. And I got six people telling me that bottom line, that didn't matter. So
I was raised military style. So, you know, you were in line for the, when we got physicals to do pop one. Okay. And you were in line. We came in on a bus. You went to the military hospital. You were in line, you know, and I had a heart murmur, so I always went over to the bad line. That means I had to bring my mother and father. They had to come with me the next day to approve and to sign off that it's okay for him to play, even though he has a heart murmur. We acknowledge that he's going to play. Sign off that if something happens, it's not your fault. You've made us aware of his heart murmur. I got it. So I get it. But look, we didn't argue what the doctor said. He told me I had a heart murmur. I mean, I guess we could have went to a specialist and found out. The doctor did say to my mother, look, he's probably going to outgrow this, so it shouldn't be a problem. And I did. I mean, when I got to Michigan, they didn't tell me I had a heart murmur anymore. So I'm like, okay, you're cool. First of all, I don't know what the damn heart murmur is. That's what it was. I mean, I just knew I was always put in that line when I was playing Pop Warner to freshman to varsity football. I always had this thing that made that when they touched me on my heart, you know, yes, we will. Open up the lines, Miz. I'm sorry. I should have opened up the lines when we came back. 734-988-1050. Give us a call. It's something that we're willing to discuss and talk about. I want to thank Mark Dotson for reminding me I need to open up the calls. Open up for calls. 734-988-1050. We're also talking about other things too. So, I mean, we're still always talking about things, other things that that may be on your mind.
Yeah, coming up at 5:10, I want to say some things about the Tigers and their big night and just about the organization and where it's at. Tonight's a real big night, not just because of the debut of a player, but really for the organization and just how you think about it moving forward. You know, today feels like one of those days. I'll do that in 20 minutes from right now. I don't know how much of a defense, like I just talked about what, you know, my dad was saying in the 80s and if what's something that happened in the 70s just because it was the 70s. Is that you know, an excuse or a defense? And I don't know the answer. A lot of people say that, you know, you're just looking for things, and I'm not looking for things. Just trying to be as honest as I can about it. I also think that people that ride, like, I've never been in a position of authority over you know, hundreds or thousands of athletes or, you know, workers, and, you know, rose to an icon status. I do believe that. You know, Bo and also Don Canham would be about accountability. So if it came to this part and they were sitting here, despite what their family and everything are saying, hey, you know what, you guys, whatever they knew or didn't know, there's a feeling in me that say, hey, those guys are accountable, you know, for everybody that was underneath them. And that if this came to light, whether they knew or just had a blind spot or whatever it was, I feel like both of those guys would be accountable. And say, hey, you know what that happened under my watch? But that's just me speculating again. Like, you got to do a lot of speculation, and you got to do some things like that. So, but, you know, there was a lot of trust in the medical profession. And, yeah, it's changed over the last 20 years. Certainly over the last 10 years, it's changed drastically, that part.
I always go back to the Nassar case where the father, the young lady told her father that she was – she felt that she was touched she was touched wrongly by Nassar, and the father chastised her, said, you can't say that about him. He's a world-renowned doctor and everything. When it came to light that she really was touched inappropriately, he killed himself. I mean, he couldn't believe it. He honestly believed that this is a world-renowned doctor in that profession, in athletics, and, you know, and it happened. So, I mean, that takes me to that. We can't look at it like that. If there's something wrong, if my daughter told me there's something wrong, and we're going to figure it out together.
I do know that. I also feel like, and this was something, this is nothing against Brandy, because I feel like I know that, you know, Brandy feels like, you know, he's, you know,
a lot of guys hurt for that. Yeah.
You know, he's Bo's, you know, like he had to be his like defense lawyer in a public forum, which is a very difficult situation. Like, so he, you know, assessing an accuser, and, you know, those are also buzzwords for character assassination, or, you know, like that. Those are things. When you have people out there that are saying that they were abused, you know, you want to listen to what they have to say, and you don't want to assassinate their character. And, you know, you want to hear them out.
I don't want to tell anyone what happened between them and that doctor behind closed doors, because I wasn't there. So I know the man that we speak of, Bo Schembechler. At least I think I know him. I've been around him for a long time. That being said, you don't know everything about everyone. So, as I said, everybody is flawed. 734-988-1058. I'm sorry. Me and Dennis are taking up all the air in the room. So, let's go to Philly E. What's up, Philly?
How you doing? I was wondering when you guys were going to talk about this. Listen. What's really been bothering me, I would say, the past couple years is everybody is projecting today's culture and ideology on things that happened 40, 50 years ago. And they're 100, regardless who was hurt, they are 100% wrong I'm sorry. You cannot look through the lenses of 2021 and hold people responsible 50 years ago. It was a completely different world. It was a world where 6- and 7-year-old kids walked home by themselves for lunch. You wouldn't even let a 15-year-old do that today, much less a 6- or 7-year-old. Guys, it's a completely different world. That man, and then consider now, he was old school in the late 60s and 70s, right? So we're talking about a man looking probably through the lens of the 1940s and 50s. He was incapable of understanding that a grown 230-pounder, 40-pounder, 50-pounder, 60-pounder is somehow being sexually molested. And, of course, it was a different culture. It was a different time. Because if it was that egregious, the kid would have got up and punched him square in the jaw because he knew it was wrong and he knew he was being molested.
Well, you don't know that, Philly. You don't know that.
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying there's stuff that we don't know about when it comes to victims and what happens where, you know, because of respect for a doctor and they don't even realize what's going on. So, you know, the part about getting up and defending yourself is something that you're just not sure about.
Or just coming to the University of Michigan as a 17-year-old and, you know, you think golden sidewalks, the University of Michigan, incredible. They know everything. Right. I don't know anything. I'm just a small person in this beautiful, in this huge planet. That's what I mean.
That played a part. But what I'm saying is you can't hold a coach responsible because there was a whole world that couldn't wrap their head around that. I'm telling you right now. There is no way in 1977 that anybody could wrap their head around a doctor because we all held them in the highest esteem. We are so much more educated today. You're talking about a world where nobody even knew what the hell a prostate exam was. By the 80s and 90s, people were still calling it a prostrate. So don't even sit there and tell me that people even know what the hell it was in those days, right?
Well,
you just held
them,
priests
some,
and
some
doctors
them called
in
them
the most
high. Hernia.
Go ahead.
There were hernia exams. There were prostate exam. There were hemorrhoid exams. I mean, they called them many different things. They didn't just call them prostate exams. They called them, what do you call it? If you had hemorrhoids. So, I mean, it was a different time. You're right, Philly E. And we were educated enough on what was going on. And maybe, maybe the grown ass man in the other room or somebody around, maybe they should have had an extra person in there with the doctor.
Yeah.
But we learned that over time.
But let's not tarnish the legacy of Bo Schembechler because of all that went on. You cannot put that on. And I'm sorry. It was an entire culture. Look what happened in the Catholic Church with all those priests. That went on for centuries, forget decades. And we didn't get hip to that till the 21st century? Come on.
Well, Philly, I went through a lot of this when you talk about Penn State, and I've got a couple friends that went to Penn State, and the defense for Joe Paterno was that, like, from my friends, like, Joe would have never thought that if somebody told him that Jerry Sandusky was doing what he did, that, you know, Joe was like, look, you know, this is my coach. He would never do anything like that. I trust him because they're for Penn State football. And you might think the same thing if somebody was telling you, if you were Bo, like, again, we have to make hypotheticals here. But if somebody's saying Bo's like, you know, the doctor, he's not doing that. He's looking out for the best interest of Michigan football. So do we think that we're going to want to go back and look at Joe Paterno through a different lens too?
I think they're apples and oranges. You know, when you got the big redhead McQueary walking down the hallway and seeing the coach doing something to a kid in a shower, and, you know, in recent times, you can't. That has nothing to do with culture. That has nothing to do with the lens of.
I don't know, Philly. Like, what if I said you got a player?
It's egregious. Whether it's the 1940s or the 2040s. All right. So it's apples and oranges. I'm not comparing. It's completely a whole different animal. So I'm not going there with that. I'm just saying, taking down Bo's statue because something that a whole university and basically society is responsible for. We held these people in high esteem. We drank the Kool-Aid. We did what? Let's face it, the world in those days was not the information highway. Today, we question everything. We question teachers. We question lawyers. We question doctors. We question police officers. Everybody's up for question today. It's a completely different world.
But that's because we know what people are capable of. Everybody is flawed. Philly. I'm sorry, and I hate to say that, but everybody's flawed. So that being said, we have to question everything because we need to find out to make sure that everybody's safe.
And saying that you drank the Kool-Aid's indicting yourself, indicting everybody else too. So that's not a good defense.
No, but I'm just saying, but it was a different time and we all bought in. It's Bo Schembechler. We all bought in. We didn't know any better. So just to put it on the shoulders of one man is crazy. Society was completely different. Do not put it on that man's shoulders.
I fully agree with you. I fully agree. It's not just Bo Schembechler. There's other people that were involved, but look, it pains me more than anything in this world. But if he did know, then that's wrong. If he did know. Philly, I gotta move to the next guy. I'm sorry, but call tomorrow. The lines are open. We'll talk to you tomorrow, okay? 734-998-1050. What's up, Gary? How you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. Serious subject, serious questions. I have it may be rhetorical, but it's kind of a little bit parallel to what Philly E said. Why are we only, and that's the key word, or seemingly blaming Bo Schembechler and Don Canham? How many other coaches from the 1970s to the early 2000s, let's just say from the Johnny Orr era in basketball and his assistants, Bill Frieder, Steve Fisher, how about Red Berenson? Why is it just one? Where are the whistleblowers? I'm trying to boil this down into something very concise because you have a lot of callers, and this may be rhetorical. There should have been other whistleblowers going back to the 1990s. What about Lloyd Carr's assistants? What about Gary Moeller's assistants? I don't want to implicate each of these guys I named or fellows or coaches, but they have assistants who seemingly would have known about this one way, shape, or form. I mean, come on, 800-plus cases. The cat's got to get out of the bag. So I'm asking a rhetorical question. I don't expect you guys to come up with an answer, but I would like you guys and all the viewer or listeners to ponder this. We're blaming Bo, and rightfully so, but we have, like, multi-sports, multi-coaches, multi-athletic directors from Don Canham to, you could even say, early Dave Brandon days. And that's my question, fellas.
Well, Gary, simply put, all those people it's a very good point. There's a lot of coaches and players out there that we could hear from. The two that you mentioned are the only two that have names on buildings and one with a statue. So that would be the difference. If you took those down, they would be in with everybody else.
Can I say this one more time? I just want to say this one more time. I'm sorry, Gary. You can say what you want to say afterwards, but I'm going to say this one more time. Bo Schembechler never asked for a statue, okay? That being said, if you want to take a statue down, you can, and send it to Dave Brandon because he was the one that put that statue up. So mail it to him because Bo never asked for a statue at the University of Michigan. So anybody who says, well, take it down, it'll show him. What's it going to show him? I mean, Bo Schembechler is dead and gone now, and God bless his soul. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Bo didn't ask for a statue. So everybody who's getting up in arms about a statue being torn down, and that would mean significant, that'll show Bo. That won't show Bo a damn thing. That being said, Gary, if you're still on, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, good. Great point, Jamie. I appreciate that. And, you know, being that Dennis said we're all flawed, then we're all hypocrites because the people that still wants both statue taken down and name taken off the building are hypocritical because to err is to be human. To human is to err. And that's just the way we are as people and on this planet. So that's kind of philosophical. I just want to get to the point about the whistleblowers. And were these people at one time maybe threatened with termination? As to why they didn't speak out. Again, this is rhetorical. I don't expect you guys to answer that. I just want you to know that me as a listener and a caller am pondering the big picture here, not just focusing on Bo Schembechler and Don Canham. So that's really all I have to say. And I just hope that everybody would ponder these questions and take that in consideration.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the phone call. We got to take a break. We'll come right back. Doc, You're the first guy when we get back. You're listening to the M Zone.